This is Near FM
90.3.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much, Mr. Martin Smith, for that opener. Yes, this is God Talk. Anthony here for the next half hour, 90.3, Near FM, and it's live in Studio One. Well, we got a bit of a break from that hot, hot weather, and I'm delighted that there was a bunch of rain, because I do grow my vegetables, and they were getting a bit thirsty, looking for a bit of water. So, back in ancient Israel, remember, rain was a sign of blessing. It was the dry weather that was a sign of a curse, and so it's nice to get that bit of rain. And our neighbours are away on holidays, and we said we'd look after the garden, we'd water it a bit. Keep quiet about that one. Using the hose pipe. But I always think God does a much better job of watering than I can ever do with the little puny little hose. And the way the rain comes from heaven, an absolute miracle, as is so many things in life. God is the one who made this planet. He's the one who made you. And despite what we found on the street a while ago when we did a vox pop, when we asked people for the purpose of life, and most people had no idea, and they had no sense of any purpose for them being on planet Earth. There is a purpose. You were specially made by God, made for His glory, to know Him personally. And so we cut through all the religion on this program. We don't deal with religion, actually. We deal with the relationship with the living God, the maker of heaven and earth, who sent His wonderful Son Jesus to die for our sins. So I don't know if you caught us last week or not. We were talking about the difference between Zoe and bio. Zoe being the life that comes from God, and bio being the normal, natural life. And, you know, we're also talking about the God who's the great I am, not the great I was. Because the God does the same today, yesterday, today and forever, that He's always been doing. And that's what gets me out of the bed in the morning. The excitement about a miracle working God. Not only is my every breath and heartbeat a miracle, but He works other miracles throughout the day, which really can astound me and bless me. And He is a God who answers prayer. And if you think, oh, I'm not so sure about that one, well, let me challenge you just to get real and honest before your Maker. Because if you ask Him from your heart, genuinely, if you cry out to Him and say, God, if you're real, show yourself to me. I've heard so many people who have had that simple prayer answered. And I had it answered myself, to be honest. So, anyway, one of the things I want to do, I'm going to just touch on it very briefly. It's a scripture reading, and it's from the book of Proverbs. Now, in the book of Proverbs, there are 31 chapters. So that makes it kind of handy. That means whatever day of the month you are, there'll always be a proverb for you. So if we jump into chapter 15, I'm just going to grab one at random. And here's verse 25. It says, "The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but He will establish the boundary of the widow." Now, sometimes we elevate pride on this planet, and we shouldn't be, because, you know, God wants us to walk in humility, to walk humbly before our God, not to strut around like some peacock thinking we're somebody special. Well, we are in God, but not in ourselves. And we humble ourselves before our Maker. And he then goes on to say, as we just read out, it says, "But God will establish the boundary of the widow." God really cares about people who've suffered on this world, people who've been bereaved of their partners. And we see throughout the Word of God that God's got a special place for widows, and widows and orphans, and those who've really got a tough hand dealt to them in life. So I just thought I'd open with that and encourage you maybe to dig into Proverbs yourself. And if we had this program about 20 years ago, I'd be saying where to ring up and get a free Bible. But nowadays, if you have a smartphone, which I think virtually everybody has, you can go to bible.com. You can download the Bible app for free with all the translations and all the backup stuff. It's fantastic. Audio Bibles, the whole jing bang lot of it, it's all there for free. So there's no real excuse not having a Bible in Ireland of today or in North Dublin. So thought I'd mention all of that. So I'm going to play a short bit of music here, and this may or may not bring up a memory for you. Just tell me what you think. Apart from the fact it's Donny Osmond, of course.
I closed my eyes, drew back the curtain to see for certain.
Well, I was driving down Machen Street in Dublin on Saturday evening. I saw crowds of people exiting the Bord Gáis Energy Theatre. They were after having seen the musical. Joseph and his amazing technicolored dream coat. The show, written by Tim Rice and Andrew Lloyd Webber, you know, it took inspiration from one of the most gripping biblical dramas. And that, of course, is the story of Joseph. Now, I'm going to try and... time is always against me here, but I'm going to try give you a potted history of this amazing epic story, which you can read for yourself in Genesis 37 and onwards. Story was, Joseph gave a bad report. Joseph, of course, was one of Jacob's 12 children. And there was four mothers. Can you imagine that household? You know, he had four wives and he had a bunch load of kids, so from the different mothers. And I'd imagine it wasn't quite the Waltons, that house. But anyway, he had a bad report on the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah. And those two were the handmaidens of Rachel and Leah. Now, the backstory is this, is that Jacob loved Rachel. And he slaved 7 years in order to receive her as a wife from the father-in-law. But then the father-in-law swindled him and gave him Leah instead of Rachel. And so he worked another 7 years to keep Leah, but also to get Rachel. So that's the first two. And then at the beginning, they weren't bearing children. So it was their maid servants that were sent in to him to become mothers of the first bunch of kids. So the kids were talking about Dan and Naphtali and then Gad and Asher. These are the 12 tribes of Israel we're talking about here. But there was a bad report that Joseph had on these guys. It doesn't elaborate what that report was. But anyway, you know, they began to hate him for this. And then a bunch of things happened. First of all, he was favoured by his father. And he was given a special coat. That's where the theme of the amazing Technicolor dream coat came from. That there was a special coat which meant an awful lot, given by the father to this one of 12 sons. That made them jealous. And then he told them he had a dream. And they got a bit madder at him for that. And then they start calling him a dreamer. And he told them what the dream was. And there was 12 sheaves that were bowing down to Joseph's sheaf, which was standing upright. And he was saying that they were going to serve him. Well, that really put them over the edge, you know. He then had another dream, you know, that there was 11 stars. And there was the sun and the moon, representative of his father and his mother. And they were all going to bow down to him. Well, you can imagine how the brothers all felt with all this carry on. They just had enough. So one day, anyway, the father sends him off to a place called Shechem to go and catch up with the other lads. And then he was sent on to Dothan a bit further up, where they actually were. And they conspired to kill him, the whole lot of them. So there was one brother who stood up for him, kind of secretly. But Reuben, he said, don't kill him. And he said, look, let's put him in a big cistern with this big hole in the ground made for water, but it's empty. And so it's like a little prison. We'll stuff him down there. And then when we've done that, we'll figure out the next move. So they're having a meal, the 11 of them, while poor Joseph was bundled into the hole. And then these Midian traders came on. They were Ishmaelites. And he sold them to him as a slave. And they went all the way down to Egypt, where they sold him to the captain of the guard and the officer of Pharaoh. And so that's how Joseph came to be in Pharaoh's court, as a prisoner and as a slave. And life went on there, and you know, God had given him a gift of interpretation of dreams. And it was that very thing that ultimately got him out of jail, when he was able to interpret Pharaoh's dreams. Because Pharaoh is living in great prosperity and great abundance, and things really, really, it was like the Celtic tiger happening down there in Egypt. And but then a dream came to Pharaoh, and he was very troubled by this. And Joseph was the only one who could interpret. And Joseph told him that there'd be 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. So that gave opportunity for Pharaoh to actually store away, build huge storehouses and store the excess grain and the produce of the land in anticipation of this famine. And anyway, I'll tell you more about this. Well, I'll tell you now, actually. This parallel I see really amazes me, because like Jesus, Joseph was rejected. But it became his salvation. First Israel, and then the world. First, we saw it in the picture of Israel here, that Joseph he got elevated to the highest office because of his dream interpretation and the fact that he could save Egypt. So he's effectively made prime minister and in charge of the goods in the store down there. And we see in Jesus' life, because he too was abased, he too was rejected of men and abandoned and ultimately crucified and put on a cross and died. And so how horrible was all of that? But there was a purpose behind it all. The rejection led to our acceptance in the case of Jesus Christ. And so too we see it with Joseph. We see that we see that the fact that he was so badly treated by his brothers and sold off as a slave. And remember this, they also fooled the father. They got his coat, that beautiful technicolor dream coat, you might say. And they killed an animal and they put the blood all over it. And then they went back and lied to the father, Jacob, and said that his son had got mauled and killed and here's his coat. And you can imagine how distraught Jacob was for his beloved son to see him murdered or killed by what he thought were wild beasts. And yet he was secretly sold off in slavery, ended up in Egypt. So anyway, I got to paraphrase this because there's so much in it. There's so much of parts of Genesis here talking about in great detail. As I say, it is a gripping story. But we have the place where Joseph gets to reveal himself to his brothers. And I'm going to read out of the Message Bible. And this is starting in chapter 44. Joseph ordered his house steward. He said, "Fill the men's bags with food, all they can carry." Now the story is that the brothers went down begging to Egypt because this famine had affected all the lands. It affected God's country too. Everybody was starving. So their word was on the street that there was store food, there was food in Egypt. And so they went down to get some. And so this is what Joseph said. And he further said, "And replace each one's money at the top of the bag. Then put my chalice, my silver chalice, in the top of the bag of the youngest, along with the money for his food." And he did as Joseph ordered. At the break of day, the men were sent off with their donkeys. They were barely out of the city. This, remember, is the brothers going back home to the father and the family. They were barely out of the city when Joseph said to his house steward, "Run after them. When you catch up with them, say, 'Why did you pay me back evil for good? This is the chalice my master drinks from. He also uses it for divination. This is outrageous.' And he caught up with them and repeated all this word for word. And they said, 'What is my master talking about? We would never do anything like that. Why, the money we found in our bags earlier, we brought back all the way from Canaan. Do you think we'd turn right around and steal it back from your master? If that chalice is found on any of us, he'll die, and the rest of us will be your master's slave.'" See, they're very cocky. They thought that, hey, they're fine. But they planted the evidence. They planted the stuff in the bag. "And they outdid each other in putting their bags on the ground and opened them up for inspection. The stewards searched their bags, going from oldest to youngest, and the chalice showed up in the youngest man, Benjamin's bag. And they ripped their clothes in despair, loaded up their donkeys and went back to the city. Joseph was still at home when Judah and his brothers got back. They threw themselves down on the ground in front of him. Joseph accused them, 'How can you have done this? You have to know that a man in my position would have discovered this.' Judah, a spokesman for the brothers, said, 'What can we say, master? What is there to say? How can we prove our innocence? God is behind this, exposing how bad we are. We stand guilty before you and ready to be your slaves. We're all in this together. The rest of us as guilty as the one with the chalice.' 'I'd never do that to you,' said Joseph. 'Only the one involved with the chalice will be my slave. The rest of you are free to go back to your father.'" And just to give you a background here, Jacob was desperate that Benjamin wouldn't go down. Joseph knew there was another brother, and he got it out of them that there was a brother, little Benjamin, his full brother. And so here we see how desperate the brothers were, because the father had said, "Don't look after my little fella here. I don't want to lose another one." Judah came forward and he said, "Please, master, Can I say just one thing to you? Don't get angry. Don't think I'm presumptuous. You're the same as Pharaoh as far as I'm concerned. You, Master, asked us, do you have a father and a brother? And we answered honestly. We have a father who's old and a younger brother who was born to him in his old age. His brother is dead, and he is the only son left from that mother, and his father loves him more than anything. Then you told us, bring him down here, so I can see him. We told you, Master, that it was impossible. The boy can't leave his father. If he leaves, his father will die. And then you said, if your youngest brother doesn't come down with you, you won't be allowed to see me. When we returned to our father, we told him everything you said to us. So when our father said, go back and buy some more food, we told him flatly, we can't. The only way we can go back is if our younger brother comes with us. We aren't allowed to even see the man if our youngest brother doesn't come with him. So it goes on anyway, but that's the story about how Benjamin got to be brought. And so it goes on in chapter 45, says Joseph couldn't hold himself in any longer. Keeping up a front before all his attendants, he cried out, leave, clear out, everyone leave. So there was no one left with Joseph when he identified himself to his brothers. But his sobbing was so violent that the Egyptians couldn't help but hear him. The news was soon reported to Pharaoh's palace. Joseph spoke to his brothers. I am Joseph. Is my father really still alive? But his brothers couldn't say a word. They were speechless. They couldn't believe what they were hearing and seeing. Come closer to me, Joseph said to his brothers. They came closer. I am Joseph, your brothers, whom you sold into Egypt. But don't feel badly. Don't blame yourself for selling me. God was behind it. God sent me here ahead of you to save lives. There's been a famine in the land now for 2 years. The famine will continue for 5 more years, neither ploughing nor harvesting. God sent me on ahead to pave the way and make sure there was a remnant in the land to save your lives in an amazing act of deliverance. So you see, it wasn't you who sent me here, but God. He set me in place as a father to Pharaoh, put me in charge of his personal affairs, and made me ruler of all Egypt. So I'm going to leave it there, but what a story, you know. What an amazing act of deliverance, that story here. And, you know, I'm really... I'm kind of speechless about this one because it's they meant it for evil. These guys didn't have a good bone in their body at the time, and they threw him in the hole and sold him to slaves, lied to the father that he was murdered. But God had a plan, and our lives are so often like that. God has a plan which is so much bigger than all the upsets and the mishaps and the heartbreaks and the disasters and everything that goes wrong. God weaves through a tapestry. And if you ever watch somebody making a tapestry, and if you are sitting looking at them, all you see is the back of the threads, and it looks like an unholy mess. But if they then turn it around when it's finished, it's a beautiful pattern. And our lives are like that. It looks like an unholy mess very often. Particularly, even if when you walk with God, it can look that way. But God will turn around as this beautiful tapestry, because God is in control. But that's all the more encouragement for us to step, get us... get in step with God and this, his great plan for our lives. And then we can truly trust him, you know. And so there you go. I'm going to play a wee song. I know my time ain't huge, but I want to play this one. It's so sweet to be saved. And it's from the Blind Boys of Alabama. You're listening to Anthony on God Talk 90.3 Near FM. And so enjoy this one. Mm-hmm. the Blind Boys of Alabama. It is so sweet to be saved. Great guys those are. Saw them years ago in Vicker Street. What a show they put on. Anyway, many of you may know the Tullamore show was on last weekend for you culchies out there like myself, and plenty of cattle and sheep and all the rest on show, and great crowds after the COVID carry on. And but one guy who was there was Morris Smith, a friend of mine, and he's an evangelist. And Morris is a man who in his 50s, he was a gambler, and he drank a lot, alcoholic, and but he met Jesus Christ. And from that day onwards, he kept going out, and he does it virtually every day. He goes out with the gospel. So he was out with some friends in Tullamore, and I was watching a video about that the other day, or yesterday actually, last night. It was great stuff. But I think it's a brother of his who has this next piece for us, and I'm just going to play it because I just think this is brilliant, a simple presentation of the gospel. So I don't know the name of the brother, but and we have a little bit of background music from Maura Brennan with it too.
We live in a world that there isn't much good news when we turn our televisions on. It's all bad news when we see the awful devastation that there is between Russia and Ukraine. We see the inflation on the increase, and there seems to be bad news everywhere. But today, I want to share with you some good news. And the good news is, and it's found in John chapter 3, verse 16. Now, you may not be familiar with this verse, but this is the word of God. And it says here, "For God so loved the world." What wonderful news is that? That God loved you, and he was prepared to give his son to die on a cruel cross, that your sins might be forgiven, and that you would have a home in heaven. It says here, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Two little words I was thinking in this verse, the word perish and the word everlasting life. You know, in Luke chapter 12, we read there of a certain rich farmer whom God blessed with crops, bountiful crops, and to such extent that he had no room to store them, and he decided that he would pull down his old barns and that he would build new barns and that he would just retire and take things easy. And it says he decided that he would eat, drink and be merry. But you know, the solemn words comes from the Lord himself, when God says, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Little did that man know that that was going to be his last night on earth. He was not going to enjoy his retirement. You see, the mistake that this man made was he left God out of his life. He lived a life without God. Sadly, he died without God. And you know, that night, he perished. You know, dear friends, today, if you live without God in your life, and if you die without God, you likewise will perish. But our news today is that you have no need to perish. You, if you come to the Lord Jesus and seek the Lord, it says in the word that we're to seek the Lord while he may be found. If you seek him for salvation, if you realize that you have sinned against a holy God, You know, Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." So if you realize that you're a sinner, and if you acknowledge your sin, you know, it says in 1 John, it says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God wants to forgive your sins today. If you would come and acknowledge your sin and believe by simple faith that there on that center cross that He took your sin and He bore them on His own body on the tree. And if you simply believe that and trust Him, you too can have everlasting life. I trust today that you be wise and seek God. You know, there's a little verse and it's been on my mind today, and it simply says, it is time to seek the Lord.